Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. On this feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate what's called a theophany, or a manifestation of God, and is specifically the manifestation of Jesus as the King of the Jews. Pope Benedict reminds us that Epiphany is essentially a feast of light. Jesus, our Savior, is the true light, and he is the one by whom we are ourselves to be made into light. So Jesus has indeed come into the world. Jesus gives us power to become children of God. The feast of the Epiphany is also a celebration of our own entrance into the family of God, as well as the fulfillment of God's plan from the very beginning of history, that all nations, every people, be united with Israel as co-heirs to his fatherly blessing. And that's what St. Paul talks about this morning in our second reading. In his homily for Epiphany this year, which in Rome and in, I think, most of the rest of the world, was celebrated this past Friday on January 6th, our Holy Father, in his homily, he focused on the three Magi, who we are told had traveled a great distance from the east to worship the newborn king. And one of the things that we see already in the gospel is that their reaction to the king, to the baby king, is quite a contrast to the reaction of King Herod in Jerusalem. King Herod, he was basically a puppet king of the Roman Empire. He spent his life murdering and extorting and building a personal kingdom ruled by his whim for his personal glory. And therefore, when Jesus enters the scene, Jesus who is to be the Savior of the people of Israel, Herod immediately feels threatened. And he decides that if this Christ is not destroyed or discredited, it could spell the end of everything that he had been working for. Now, why exactly did Herod try to destroy Jesus? While, on the other hand, the Magi, who were not of the people of Israel, they came to worship him. Well, the difference could be summed up probably in one word, and that one word is humility. Herod totally lacked humility. The Magi had it. Herod spent his life trying to keep everything under his own control. He became a very suspicious man. He actually ended up murdering his own wife and three of his sons because he thought they were plotting against him. In fact, King Herod's whole life was a series of violent, horrible crimes. His tyrannical fear of losing control eventually made him universally hated, and even by his closest collaborators. And then finally, when Herod lay dying, he ordered 1,000 of his best servants and ministers to be led into a stadium and to be slaughtered, because he wanted to be sure that there would be mourning and sadness in his kingdom upon his own death. You know, I think many of folks here know that in modern history, we have experienced similar tyrants. One that comes to my mind is Joseph Stalin, who ruled the Soviet Union until his death in 1953. And Stalin basically followed a parallel path with Herod. Stalin climbed the ladder of success in the Communist Party by lying, double-crossing, and murdering. And once he reached the top, Stalin systematically eliminated all of his potential rivals. He began to think that everyone was a potential rival. He sent his best friends to concentration camps in Siberia. He became so suspicious of plots against him that he slept in different corners of his house every night. And he ended up also dying a fearful, miserable, half-crazed man. So Herod and someone like Stalin, they are extreme cases, but they do show us a truth, and that is that you and I are not God. God is God. And we are not meant to control everything. We're meant to humbly follow Jesus in whatever it is the vocation that God has given us. We're called to trust him and actually kneel before him, like the humble Magi, and to say with our lives, "Thy will be done, not mine. Thy kingdom come, not mine." King Herod could not say that. Stalin, the dictator, could not say that. But the Magi, they could. Now, who are these Magi? Well, there's different understandings of who they are, but this is what Pope Benedict said this past Friday. With the Magi, humanity's pilgrimage to Jesus Christ begins. Before them had come the shepherds, simple souls who dwelt closer to God, who became a child and could more easily go over to him and recognize him as the Lord. But now the wise of the world are also coming to Jesus. Great and small, kings and slaves, persons of all cultures and nations, they're all coming. The men from the East are the first, followed by many more throughout the centuries. What kind of people were they? The experts tell us the Magi belonged to the great astronomical tradition that had developed in Mesopotamia over the centuries. And of course, that's modern-day Iraq. No doubt there were many astronomers in ancient Babylon, but only these few set off to follow the star that they recognized as the star of the promise, pointing them along the path towards the true King and Savior. They were, we might say, men of science, but not simply in the sense that they were searching for a wide range of knowledge. They wanted something more. They wanted to understand what being human is all about. They had doubtless heard of the Old Testament prophecy about a star. They were men with restless hearts, not satisfied with the superficial and the ordinary. They were men in search of a promise, in search of God. They were watchful men, capable of reading God's signs. They were also courageous and humble. We can imagine them having to endure a certain amount of mockery for setting off to find the King of the Jews at the cost of so much effort. For them, however, it mattered little what this or that person, what even influential and clever people thought and said about them. For them, it was a question of truth itself, not human opinion. Hence, they took upon themselves the sacrifices and the effort of a long and uncertain journey. Their humble courage was what enabled them to bend down before this child of poor people and to recognize him as the promised king, the one they had set out on both their outward and inward journey to seek and to know. And Pope Benedict went on to say that the restless hearts of the Magi were hearts that were ultimately satisfied with nothing less than God. And in that way, they were loving hearts. Our own hearts, in fact, you know, St. Augustine says, every heart is restless for God. Not only are we restless for God, but Pope Benedict says, God's heart is restless for us. God is waiting for you and me. He's actually looking for us. God knows no rest either until he finds you and me. God's heart is restless, and that is why he set out on the path toward us, a path that took our Lord to Jerusalem, to Egypt, to Nazareth, to the cross on Calvary, and on to the very ends of the earth. God is restless for us. He looks out for people willing to catch his unrest, his passion for us, his awesome love for us. People who carry within them the searching of their own hearts, who are open to be touched by God's search for us. The wise men followed the star, and that star ultimately led them to Jesus. The great star, the great supernova that leads you and me in this life is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, says Pope Benedict, is the explosion of God's love, which causes the great light of God's heart to shine on the world. The Magi from the East, who we can say they are the stars in our gospel today, these Magi are like all the saints who gradually became constellations of God that mark out the path. The saints are stars of God by whom you and I are led to the one for whom our heart is restless and longing. And so let us pray that you and I may always know that Jesus Christ is our King, that we may always enjoy the great adventure of living in and fighting for his kingdom. And we pray together, Lord Jesus, shine in the darkness of my soul. Increase my faith, dispel doubt. Guide my thoughts to keep faith alive in the darkest night. Your light will come again, and all will see the salvation from our God.